Proposed legislation to promote the Irish language is set to be strengthened through 32 amendments approved by ministers. The government has published the heads of these amendments to the Official Languages Amendment Bill, which will be presented at report stage. The amendments include a requirement that 20% of new recruits to the public service be competent in the Irish language by the end of December 2030, a requirement for any commercial operator providing public services under contract to a public body to make provision for the use of the Irish language as part of those services, and a requirement that each public body carry out at least 20% of its annual advertising in the Irish language and 5% in the Irish language media. So we want to know how you feel about all that and the Irish language. Are you a passionate defender of our native tongue, or do you feel ambivalent towards it and see the legislation I've just mentioned, or any use of public money on Irish, as a complete waste of time? Do let us know. It is 1850 400 964 to call Morning Focus, and you can also get your comments, views and opinions in via text and WhatsApp. That number is 086 1800 964. But for more on this, we are joined on the show now by Donal Leitig, who's a presenter of the Cool Count podcast here on Clare FM. Donal, good morning to you.
Good morning, Alan.
Donal, these amendments, there's quite a lot of them, but Jack Chambers has been talking about them. He says, you know, that they feel strongly they will strengthen the status of the Irish language within the state sector, ensuring consistently high quality Irish language services within the public service for those in the Irish speaking community and in the Gaeltacht areas. Do you agree?
Well, there we go, some way towards it anyway, that's for sure, because to be honest about it, the level of service from the state in Irish is just abominable. It's abysmal. Some figures that were published recently showed that in the Department of Education, which the state has promotes most of its, or had done promoting Irish through the Department of Education, but in the Department of Education, only 3% of the staff were able to conduct inquiries and information on the phone through Irish, and that is just not. How could the state say they're, you know, supporting the language, and which they should be, if that's the way they've let go? Now, I think this is a step in the right direction, and I mean it'll take a bit of take a while. There was a target date of 2030 set for it, so I think, you know, it will be, and it's the worst of this is cost neutral. If you're recruiting and appointing people to positions within a department, isn't it just as easy to appoint somebody with the competency for Irish if it's needed, as appointing somebody who doesn't understand Irish or who hasn't got a competency, and then expect them to deal with queries from the public? Sure, it doesn't make sense.
So Donal, if you're saying it's cost neutral, should that allay some of the fears of those who give out and moan about the waste of money on the Irish language, that, look, it's not going to be much of an expenditure here?
Well, I've gone down through the 23 heads of amendments, and there were almost 100 amendments to the bill, but the ones that Minister of State Jack Chambers has announced, I don't see that any of them will cost the state anything more except a shift in goodwill. The one about the Sheena Fada was amusing in a way, because it says that it should be available in all ITC or ICT systems operated by public bodies. That's already the case. If they just implement it, it's there. It's in every keyboard, in every computer, in every office.
And sorry, Donald, just to explain that to people who aren't aware, the FADA will get legal protection with an obligation on public bodies to put it into their IT systems and onto all computer keyboards, which I don't think too many people would have a problem with that, would they? Because, you know, Donald, I think if I use the Irish version of my name, I'd be irked and annoyed if, you know, the FADA is an important part of the pronunciation of a person's name.
Of course.
If it's not there, it totally changes it.
Just take the word S-E-A-N, Shan, and S-E-A for the N, Sean. You know, so it is a very important part of it. But the worst of it is, they're already on every keyboard, I say, in every computer, in every office. And all it has to be done is to show people how to do it. And where is the cost involved in that? And a lot of the criticism and the moaning and groaning about the cost of this and the cost of that, and it will have cost an awful lot, are just, I think, smoke screens, because when they're examined, just to do them would have cost nothing. There was a case about packaging to be bilingual, and people were saying, oh, this would drive up the price of packaging and everything. Most of the packaging, there's a blank place in the packaging that you just insert the Irish version. And anyway, in the EU, all the goods sold have multilingual packaging. We go into the likes of Aldi or Lidl, and it's in 7 or 8 languages.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can make an argument for most things if you want to. But the other ones that are very important, I think, are names of established statutory bodies to be in Irish only. I think that is, you know, it's a no-brainer. You have... when Electric Ireland was established, there was a call done for just to call it Electric Éireann, and they didn't do it. Irish Water, Uisce Éireann, they didn't do it. You have Bus Éireann, you have Gas Éireann, you have, you know, all the rest of the ones that are in Irish, and there's no problem with them, and people just get used to them. And it's, as I say, a lot of it is just goodwill and a sort of a disposition to do the thing right.
Donal, that word goodwill, where do you think the level of goodwill is in the country in general towards the Irish language? I mean, obviously we're talking about what the government is doing here, but what about the average Irish man and woman on the street and their feelings towards our native language?
Yes, Alan, I think the Milton Brown survey that was done last year showed a phenomenal apathy or a phenomenal support for Irish language. I think that a very large sample were interviewed, that, you know, that over 2 million people showed in the last census that they had an understanding of Irish and would feel competent in just making a conversation in Irish. Now, the state, unfortunately, has not backed it up, really and truly. The state has been very negligent in promoting Irish. For a while, we were depending, and the promotion of Irish by the state was based on lottery funding. We were at the mercy of a raffle. And it was really, really a very insulting way to be promoting Gaeilge. I think more now is being done, and definitely with the establishment of Fordas na Gaeilge under the Good Friday Agreement has been a step forward. And then you have the local Irish promotion groups like the Scéan Pobail Gaeilge, like Clonas na Gaeilge, which is funded under this agreement. And now Innes has been accorded status of Baile Líonra na Gaeilge, which is the Irish language town. So there's going to be a hub for the promotion of it, and it's going to be a huge thing. There will be a significant investment done, and it's just taking a lot of time and a lot of effort, because we have been coming from a very, very far back sort of negative starting point. But I think that it is improving. And young people, it's amazing that I find that young people are very well disposed towards Irish. And I think maybe the methodology of teaching Irish has changed and should change. And the Department of Education should listen to people in, you know, linguists and teachers and people who are at the coalface, that they will know that the old rote method of teaching a language is not on. You must teach a language to speak it.
I'm just interested that last point you made, Donal, about the teaching of the Irish language having changed. And it's a long time since I was at school, but it was very much very much back then rote learning and prose and poetry and so on. And it was very difficult to get a love for the language, never mind be able to speak it with the way that it was taught. We seem to have been talking for a long time about changing up how Irish is taught and that it should be more conversational. I mean, you look at the way there's huge numbers in Wales that speak the Welsh language compared to the numbers of people here speaking Irish. You look at it in Israel, where the formation of that state, they put a system in place to teach Hebrew, and it massively increased the number of people who could speak Hebrew. How much has the education system changed, and is it going towards that more conversational style where pupils are in the class and when they're talking with each other they can pick up Irish more easily, or is there still a long way to go towards that?
There's a long way to go, but just that you mentioned Wales and Israel, we did a study. After the foundation of Israel, there were 4% of the people who had the knowledge of Hebrew. Now today, 90% of the people conduct their everyday business through Hebrew.
I mean, that's an incredible change, isn't it? 4% to 90%.
They brought it out into the streets. They put it into the commercial sector. They took it away from the educational system. They brought it into the private sector, in the public sector. When you have a department not able to service Irish language inquiries, it just smacks of just the thing not being done. And to be fair to the Department of Education, they are guilty, because the methodologies that were used, we'll say from in the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s, were being directed and dictated by the senior inspectors and the senior officials in the department. Oftentimes, the minister didn't have a great input into it. Mm. And now this is changing, because people are demanding that a language must be spoken. And I think, you know, the way that the promotion of language and the public groups that have been established with under the new, what would I call it, the new regime of the department, that is helping. The one other step that must be taken is that there should be a minister for Gaeilge and the Gaeltacht. If not a minister for state, there should be somebody at the cabinet table who would drive this, because let's be fair, there's housing, there's pandemic of COVID, there's health issues, there are education issues and everything else around the table. And oftentimes, the Irish element of it is just forgotten about, because there is so much other business, and ministers are more interested, and rightly so. But if there was, and should be, a minister for the Gaeltacht and Gaeilge, I think we would make phenomenal leaps. And I think that advertising, there's one there. It upsets me a little when I see public service companies and public, you know, semi-state bodies advertising in English on TG Car. You know, that to me is a contradiction in terms, and it just shows a certain apathy and a certain, you know, thumbing your finger at the whole thing. All it would take is a voiceover on the video, and we know, sure, the technology is. It would take nothing. And to talk about, you know, cost factors and rising costs and all that, that's only a smokescreen. If it could be done in 10 minutes for the amount of time the person would write the script and read it, and it's all over. And look at the impact it would make to the public, and to the confidence it would show in the language that public people would be prepared to advertise Australia. Now, that's enshrined in the new amendment. I think that's going to be very, very significant.
Okay.
And, you know, companies, city-state companies, having to advertise in Irish, having to have their logos in Irish and their stationery. When you're printing stationery, is an easy printed bilingualism one.
True,
you know,
enough.
The technology is there. It's not that you don't have to get a craftsman to really completely do it. Just to say it to be done, the touch of a button, sure. We do it all the time in Claros Gaeilge, putting Gaeilge on stuff and generating Irish version of stuff. Can be done, there's no problem in doing it. Just goodwill, I think. And this is a step forward, definitely. I think Jack Chambers and Minister Martin have the right idea, and they must be complimented on making the step forward, which is to follow it on now and to implement the bill. And, you know, there won't be a fortune spent on it, and there won't be, you know, millions spent on it, but the impact that it will have, the visual impact and the community impact and everything, That's a very important. It's very important for us here in Innis and Clare.
Okay.
If we're going to be the network town, the Irish network town, that we would have that sort of backup that the public service and the private service sector would be using Irish on an everyday basis.
No big deal. Donal, we have to leave it there, but a very interesting discussion. Donal O'Lunchig there, a presenter of the Cool Kind podcast here on Clare FM.